Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
All right, we are back with the Believe You Me podcast. Hope you are all well. Harrington, what's going on? You're looking very ghostly and pale over there.
No. I got some color, actually. I got some redness in my cheeks. I'm looking jolly, if anything.
You're looking jolly. Well, I'll tell you who's jolly right now. Hamzat Chimaev. My God, he's out of his mind, isn't he? What was all that about last week? I mean, it's a shame we never got to do a Thursday show. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Straight into the MMA talk. I wish we could have done a show on maybe the Friday or something because, I mean, that was fucking wild. That was wild. I mean, I would love to see and have the full story of what happened at the post-fight press conference. I mean, we know Kevin Holland and Hamzat, you know, we're going back and forth. Kevin Holland said some words. Hamzat didn't take kindly. They're on the verge of fighting. Testosterone's pumping through the body. You know, they're cutting weight. They're angry. They're almost ready to go to fight time. And then they get close to one another. They've got entourages. Plus the Diaz crowd is there. And they're like, fuck it. Let's go. I mean, it would have been nice to be a fly on the wall in that situation.
Yeah, well, so like from the video that I saw, it was like Hamzat being like, you talk all this shit about me, like to journalists and the newspapers, wherever, podcasts. I'm in your face right now. What's up? What's up? Be a gangster. And Kevin Holland was like, you're not about this life. You are not actually pulling up on me ready to throw down right now. You're doing this for money, and we both know it, which I really enjoyed. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Nate Diaz from the back is like, what's up, Mom? You guys want to talk about some gangsters coming through here? Like, that's like World War III ready to kick off.
As I said, I wish I could have been there. You know, and the thing is, you know, they had to cancel the press conference, which is, it's such a fucking bummer for everyone that was in attendance. Apparently, there was a ton of people waiting for the presser. Certainly those people that have flown in from other states or maybe even out of the country for the fight, you know, that's a part of the fun. It's a part of the show. But there's no such thing as bad press, even if there is no press. You know what I mean? That would have hyped that fight majorly. The fact they had to cancel the press conference because there was a big kickoff backstage. Only thing that would have been better if it was on stage. I mean, that would have been phenomenal.
Okay. All right. Devil's avocado. I'm in the studio. I'm allowed to say it. Do you think, right, given just how little Hamzat has been able to get over on the mic, right? Like, do you think that it would have been too much advantage Diaz? Like, I feel like is strictly in the smack talking department, Diaz buries Hamzat. So it's like, if those two start coming out there to try to talk smack against each other again, like, I just don't, I don't know if they're protecting Hamzat a little bit there by not letting him get in front of a microphone that angry.
No, don't be stupid. No one's protecting anybody. Everyone has all these fucking conspiracies. You know what I mean? That, ooh, this was a shakeup. It just so happens that Kevin Holland and D-Rod were fighting 180 pounds. Hamzat comes in heavy and all the rest of it. Listen, anyone that thinks that whole thing was a setup from the get-go or out of the minds. Fighters, right, we can't keep our mouths shut for the most part, right? They can't control their emotions. They're getting into fights. Do you think all the teams, all the coaches, all the cornermen, all the managers, all these people involved are going to keep this big secret together? Ooh, yeah, the public thinks it's one thing, but we're secretly going to switch up the card at the last minute. No, that is not what happened. The UFC rallied, scrambled, made it happen, and it turned out to be quite the event. It really was. I just couldn't believe that Hamzat didn't make weight. You know what I mean? Everyone knows how I feel about that, how you feel about that. We've said it a million times. It's one of your only obligations. Can't guarantee you're going to win the fight. But you're going to show up on shape and in weight. In shape and on weight. I always get that wrong for some reason. But still, whatever. The show must go on. Who said that, Harrington?
P.T. Barnum.
Queen.
Oh,
the
really?
Show must go on. Yeah, I think so. That was a terrible rendition.
I think you're both right.
Okay. Well, the show must go on. The show did go on, and oh my god, it's funny since the fight, Kevin Holland came out and said he lost a grappling match. You know, which listen, I love Kevin Holland. He's awesome. He's a friend of the show. He's been on here many times, and I like what he brings to the table. Super excited, really talented fighter, but it is mixed martial arts, the arts of the mixed martial, and I don't know. I didn't spot this on the night. And I even did a post-fight show with BT Sport yesterday. And we didn't mention this one time. Kevin Holland went in to touch gloves. I didn't spot this. The director on the film, we had dinner last night, MJ. And MJ says, I didn't like that when he tried to touch gloves, though. And he just shot a double leg takedown. I said, what are you talking about? And she sent me a little clip. Yeah, wild. Yeah. What are your thoughts?
I mean, look, defend yourself at all times. You touch gloves before the bell for a reason, yep, because you get that out of the way, right? Ben Askren was coming out kind of half-assed with the hand up when he got hit with the flying knee by Masvidal. Absolutely not. Once that bell rings, you are opponents. Any kind of handshaking, hand-wringing, hugging inside the octagon, inside those 15 or 25 minutes of fighting is absolute nonsense to me.
Correct, Mundo. However, Devil's Avocado right back at you. There is an unwritten code of samurais and warriors dating back through the dark ages. You know, when you engage in hand-to-hand combat, there's a certain dignity involved, don't you know? No, but you know what I mean? It's kind of like an unwritten rule. Someone walks out and puts their hand up, you know, you can say no. You can do whatever you want because he wasn't breaking any rules, you know. The reality is hand up or hand down, he would have gotten the takedown anyway. I mean, fucking, he's a terrifying man inside that octagon. We know he can bang as well, but...
What did you think? He did come out and mention that in the post-fight presser. They asked him, you know, he was going for the handshake. Did you, why did you just shoot for the double leg? He said, I wasn't looking at his hand. I was looking at his head, looking for his head movement, where his body was going to be. I was not focused on where his hand may or may not have been.
Are you sure he didn't say, brother, just give me the smash. Give me the smash, everyone. I kill everyone. That's all he says, you know, because when you said before about the trash talk, you know what I mean? He does need to get a couple of new lines. Darren Till's an expert talker. He's a funny bastard, you know. They're together all the time. Give him another line or two. Smash, brother, kill everyone. You know, it's effective. It's to the point, you know. It's okay. Very cutting, but it's getting old.
If you were going to do one tag team, right, where like, you know, exactly that situation, Khamzat gets to come out for every press conference with Darren Till to do zingers for him, who would be your guy? Like if there's a fighter who you do the talking for, or you fight and somebody else does the talking for you?
I don't need anyone to do the talking for me. We do one of the best podcasts in the goddamn world. I was a bit of a trash talker myself back in the day.
I feel like you and Ngannou.
I was just going to say, I'll be fantasizing Ngannou some lines, you know what I mean? Because ain't no one talking shit back to us, that's for damn sure. When you got Ngannou in your back pocket, you're flying. Anyway, listen, you know, it is a shame for Kevin Holland because, you know, he was a man about it. I thought he was very smart the way that he asked for five rounds, you know. But it just shows how good Khamzat Chimaev is because I don't think we've ever seen anyone do that to Kevin Holland. Maybe you can look at his record, Brian. How many times has he been finished in the UFC? Because he's been in there with Jacare, knocked him out off his back, one of the best grapplers. You know, he's been in there with Marvin Vittori, some big hitters and stuff. He's won a lot of fights, but he lost a few. But he's never been handled and made short work of like that ever. You know, he's a black belt. He's a tall guy. He's athletic. He's in shape. And I thought, foolishly, I thought with it being five rounds and with him missing weight, that if he can get into the championship rounds or even halfway through round three, he might tire Khamzat. Khamzat might tire like he did against Gilbert Burns, and we might see Kevin Holland take over. But that was not wishful thinking. I was just way off, and maybe I underestimated just how good he is. Yes, Brian.
Including the fight on Saturday, he has two submission losses.
Two submission losses. Okay. Oh, so one other. Who was the one other?
It says here that it was Brendan Allen, rear naked choke.
Was that in the UFC?
Probably UFC fight night, Reyes versus Weidman.
I actually commentated that fight. Did I? I'm lying. Maybe I'm lying. I don't know. Maybe I'm confused. I never tell lies, Brett Harrington. Yeah, Brendan Allen's no joke either. You know, caught him there. Oh, no, was that the one when he kind of slipped? When Kevin Holland kind of, they clashed heads or something. Anyway, whatever, whatever. Well done, Hamzat Chimaev. Who do you want to see him up there against next?
Oh, that's such a tough one because it's like after you miss weight that badly at 170, you know, this was the only thing he could have done wrong in my mind. Like there was no world in which he was not going to look like the more dominant, more powerful, and likely the winner of a Nate Diaz fight, right? But, you know, for him to come out and miss weight that badly, I have concerns about him ever making 170 pounds again. So my next fight for him would have to be at 185. I mean, why not against the winner of Adesanya versus Pereira? I don't know that either one of those guys has the wrestling defense to deal with somebody like Khamzat.
Yeah, no, I agree. The only thing is, it is his first time. You know what I mean? Granted, it was a bad miss. You know, a lot of people saying that he didn't even try, which the doctor forced him to have to stop. But still, he has to take the blame for that. If the doctor steps in and forces you to stop cutting weight, that means you're pushing it too far. That means you're on the verge of being hospitalized or even worse, and that's because you came in too heavy. So failure to prepare is a preparation to fail, you know? Yeah, right. So that's on him. That's on him. I don't know. Wait. You know, on the BT's, go on.
I had a quick question about how that works with weight cutting. So do doctors come in and check on you regularly, or does a doctor only get called in when there's something like clearly wrong with your cut?
Yeah, well, I always made weight and I never had an issue. So I have no hands-on experience from what I believe, and I think I'm right here. The doctor only gets involved. Yeah, the doctor only gets involved if you're not making weight, you know, and it's concerning. Okay. You know what I mean? They come and check up on you. There might be 32 fighters on the card. The doctors aren't sporadically popping in to see, hi guys, Dr. Bisping here, just checking in on your weight cut. See, I go, ooh, yeah, it's going well, isn't it? Oh, good for you, nice. And then another one, they go and they go, oh, no. It's only if the shit is hitting the fan that the doctors get involved. So anyway, I was going to say, Khabib Nurmagomedov, how many times did he miss weight though? Because he did miss weight, I think, on a couple of occasions, or the fight was called off because of a bad weight cut, correct? Because I did, as I say, I did a BT Sport post show, and I saw in the comments someone was saying, hold on a minute, why are you all saying that he can't fight Hamza at 170 again? But yet Khabib got to consistently fight at 155.
So when right? I Googled that, the first thing that came up was a quote from Chael Sonnen. So I'm not sure exactly how accurate this is, but it says Khabib's missed weight 4 times.
Right. Well, you know, you never know with Chael. Do you know what I mean? He just likes to sensationalize things. But still, who does he fight next? I mean, look, for Hamza, it's got to be. If it is 170, I don't know. I mean, I would say a title fight, but Leon Edwards is probably going to fight Usman. You know, who else is there? Colby? Colby Covington would be fucking good. That'd be amazing. Colby's coming back later in the year, Dana said the other day.
Oh, really?
Oh, well. Yeah. Anyway, lots of other talking points to get to. But before we do, I want to hear from you on a non-MMA talking point.
Okay. Well, if we're talking non-MMA, there's really no bigger news in the world than the passing of Queen Elizabeth. And it is a national period of mourning in England. I actually read today, Nintendo has shut down all their software in the UK because it is a national time of mourning for the Queen.
Hold on.
Yeah.
You mean this lady dies so kids can't play video games? Are you shitting me?
Listen.
You cannot argue with me that England is as free as America. I am sorry.
You are out of your mind. You are out of your mind. Don't get me started. You're crazy. Nintendo's owned by a Japanese company, for one, you fucking maniac. Secondly, that's a bit out of order on all the 10-year-olds or 6-year-olds on the Nintendo DS. They're like, I don't care. You know what? To be honest, you know, I'm a working class guy. I was never... You know, I didn't really care or dedicate too much of my time to the royal family. Do you know what I mean? And as long as I've been alive, she's been in power. I think 70 years or something she reigned, which is just an incredible thing, to be honest. But now she's passed. I am sad. I am sad. God bless her. I mean, she was the epitome of class and dignity. And, you know, it is sad. And it is lovely to see the world mourning her death. So there you go. put that in your pie. Put that in your pipe, even.
70 years and 214 days, and now you're stuck with Prince Charles.
Yeah, yeah. My dad doesn't like Prince Charles. King Charles. Yeah,
my bad.
The Show third. Some respect, boys.
Yeah, the
is,
third.
Is it the third?
It's the third. King Charles the third. Good God save him. Our king. Yeah. And my dad put on Facebook for some reason, because obviously he was in the army, and you know, you pledge an oath, I guess, to the Queen, you know, and her successors. Puts on Facebook. So sad to hear about the Queen, but I do not support King Charles. I am revoking my oath. And I'm like, and then like all these army buddies on Facebook were like coming out and said, Jan, what are you talking about? And my dad dropped me off at the airport in Manchester the other night, and I'm like, what's all that about, Dad? What have you got against King Charles? And he's like, well, there's a whole scandal. You know, he was with, I forget his name, Camilla or whatever. He was bonking behind the back of Princess Diana. So there's that. And then he goes, and he talks to trees. I'm like, well, that's not the bit. I mean, maybe he's a bit mental. I'm like, well, talking to trees isn't like something to get necessarily pissed off about.
Dude, that is kind of fun to just like point and laugh. Like, yeah, your leader talks to trees.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, fucking hell. Hey, don't get me started on fucking Biden falling off a bike. Come on, bro.
Oh, I'm with you there.
I'm with you there. Yeah, that dude needs to go to a fucking rubber room, too.
Exactly. Well, I'll tell you a little funny story, something that happened to me. When was it? So I flew back in Saturday morning. My dad dropped me off at the airport, like I said. Ugh, only direct flight to Bulgaria is at like, what was it? It was 6:10 or 6:15 or something in the morning. And the airports in England are fucked right now post-COVID. It's unbelievable. The crowds, the waits, it's insane. Anyway, so I had to set off to the airport at 3:00 in the morning. So I had like 2.5 hours sleep because I was catching up with my sister and some last night with my mom. So we just got a takeaway and having a glass of wine or two, just talking and stuff. And so I'm fucking exhausted. I fly to Bulgaria on EasyJet, which is like a really low-budget airline. Get here.
Southwestern Europe.
No, way worse. I would take Southwest in a heartbeat. Let me tell you that. Not any day. But at least I do get a seat assigned. But I get here, I have a little nap, and then I wake up and I'm kind of groggy. I think I'll go for a run. So I'm going for a run. And there's a nice little pedestrianized area just down the street called Vitosha Boulevard. It's like shops and cafes and restaurants and people walking about and stuff. And it's like the path I've been doing my run on all the time. But I'm not really here on the weekends. On the Saturday, there's like this big market going on. So it's absolutely fucking packed with people. And I'm trying to run through. Do you know what I mean? So I'm like, I'm sidestepping. I'm stopping a little bit here. I'm walking through, trying to get a run on again, you know, because I'm just trying to work out. Anyway, there's a guy. And he was a big motherfucker, to be fair. Big. And he was a big, scary-looking motherfucker, to be fair, as well. He definitely looked like he was Bulgarian mafia or something. Big, burly guy. Heavy, big beard. Two dog leads. Like little tiny dogs, though. And like, I was like,
it's the mark of a scary guy. If you're a big dude with tiny dogs, you're ready to fight someone.
Two tiny little dogs. And like, I'm like, and I just thought I'll just hop over the dog lead or the leash, as they call it. So I hop over the leash. And obviously the dog now in hindsight senses that there's a fucking grotesque human being floating above it and shoots forward. So as I land, The dog lead is still in front, and I get tangled up in the dog lead. I kind of almost fall over. The dog gives that little roar like that. Oh, my God. This guy flips out. And I mean fucking flips out. First of all, in Bulgarian, I'm like, whoa, bro. What's your problem? And they go, motherfucker. He was going to fight me. He was going to fight me. So he gets...
That might be the only word he knows in English.
Better off for him that he didn't.
Well, you know, I didn't want to say anything. I wasn't trying to fucking throw fuel on the fire. Yeah, I've just got back in the country, for crying out loud. I don't want to be rolling around in the streets in a pedestrianized area. You know, the rest of the cast and crew walk by and go, oh, yeah, there's Bisping. Told you. He's a bad one, him.
Busiest market in Bulgaria.
Yeah, I'll get my fucking ass kicked, even if I am winning the fight, let's be honest. And he's really, really, really getting in my face. I'm like, okay, whoa, that's close enough. That's close enough. And he still kept coming in my face like that. So anyway, so I back off. I said, listen, I'm sorry, mate. It was an accident, okay? My bad. All right, I didn't mean it to happen. He said, fuck you. And he kept getting in my face. So I turn around and I start running again. And he's fucking running after me. So I stop. I turn around, I say, what are you doing? He said, I fucking kill you. And I just like, I was giving him like a little cheeky smile as if, you know, I don't advise you do that, buddy. But still, there you go. Don't jump over dog leads. There's the moral of the story.
Dude, I feel like there is. I did, you know, I was being a little bit facetious, but I am serious. If you are a large man with a small dog in public, you are, I feel like you're naturally just waiting for someone to mess with you. You know what I mean? Like, there's some kind of chip on your shoulder thing. If you're a big dude with a small dog, like, you're trying to prove something to someone.
Well,
I've always felt that way.
You're just like, go ahead, say something.
Right.
No, yeah, I don't know. Because, like, on the flip side of that is that what? So you have to be, you have to have a really manly dog. You have to have the size of your dog as an extension of your penis. I mean, granted, I always did have giant German shepherds, but we've also got little Haribo. You know, we've got little Harry. He's a tiny little Yorkie poo. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? You don't, it's like, it's a little bit of a, it's a little bit childish, isn't it? To think that, you know, you're going to have a big man's going to have a big dog.
How often do you walk Harry?
Nobody walks Harry. Harry's the most spoiled little shit ever. He goes on pack walks 3 or 4 times a week. And then Lucas takes him around the block a few times here and there. So, you know. I got podcasts. I got stuff to do. Anyway,
you got bigger dogs to walk.
I got bigger dogs to walk, bigger fish to fry. Talking of fish to fry, it's boiling in here. I'm going to be frying in a minute. All right, Nate Diaz versus Tony Ferguson. This was a gift from the gods in many ways for Nate Diaz, and I know Nate Diaz has got tons of fans. So I'm not talking shit. I enjoyed the fight. We'll get to that in a minute. But that whole shakeup of the card, I believe, was very beneficial to Nate Diaz. And I know I'm not breaking any news there, right? Let's be honest. Come on, look what Hamzat did. You're looking confused, Hamilton. I don't like the confusion on your face. Look at what Hamzat did to Kevin Holland. You don't think he would have done something similar to Nate Diaz?
Okay, so here's my only argument. Right. It's that, you know, when Kevin Holland gets taken down and he rolls through once and he rolls through again. Right. And he kept finding himself in like these grappling exchanges where he was doing the right thing for a while. But he's nowhere near the jiu-jitsu player that Nate Diaz is, in my mind, at least. Right. Like, I don't think about Kevin Holland's submission game the way that I think about Nate Diaz's submission game. So, I mean, you know, if Hamzat did try to come out there and just ragdoll Nate Diaz. And like you said, right, he gets into the later rounds, now having used so much energy. I mean, dude, the way that Hamzat just ragdolled Kevin Holland in the first round, you have to assume if that gets to a second round, Kevin Holland is in pretty damn good shape, no?
Yeah, look, listen, I don't disagree with your logic. And that's actually the logic I had, why I picked Kevin Holland to win the goddamn fight, foolishly. but you know, listen, Nate Diaz, yeah, granted, of course, he's got 10 submissions in the UFC now. I think he's like tied third. There's Charles Oliveira, there's a bunch of people who's at like 2 with like 12 or something, and there's a bunch of people at 10. So we all know he's got great jiu-jitsu, of course. And that is obviously a logical argument, and I get that. But more than likely that would have happened. Let's be honest. That's why everyone was saying it was such a travesty that the matchup was happening. Reality is it didn't happen, when didn't go ahead. As I'm saying, maybe a little gift from the gods, because Nate Diaz now gets to go out, submits Tony Ferguson, another legend. It was a great fight because Tony Ferguson, which, by the way, props to Tony, right? Losing 4 in a row. He's under a lot of pressure. The man was an interim champion, for fuck's sake. He's loved by everyone. He's a fan favorite. Always had exciting fights, but it looks like the ship has sailed on his best days. And I say that with respect. So for him to say, you know what? Yeah, we can switch this up and I'll go 5 rounds against Nate Diaz on a day's notice. You know, Tony Ferguson deserves a lot of credit as well. It was a great fight. You know, it was a throw. It's wild that fight wasn't made a long time ago. You know what I mean? Because they were competing in the same division for years and years and years. I thought Tony had some good moments using the leg kicks to good effect. He kept fucking up by doing those spinning attacks. Too many spinning attacks. Diaz was countering nicely. When Diaz turned it on and got really aggressive, you know, he was looking good. You know, Tony shouldn't have gone for that takedown. But I think Diaz was cruising to a victory anyway, if I'm honest.
Well, Tony's corner was calling for the takedown for the entire fight, right? Like as far back as like, you know, heading into that second round, I believe he's like, you know, they were, you know, praising him for how well the leg kicks were doing and then kept saying over and over again, like, we need to see some level changes. I want to see some takedowns. So like, do you think this was something Nate was just waiting on the whole fight? Like, all right, it's like, cause the moment he did shoot for the takedown, Nate immediately slaps on the submission and gets the win there.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's always in his arsenal, isn't it? That's why you said at the start, you know, of this discussion that, you know, it would have been a different fight because he has that kind of threat. His jiu-jitsu is legit, you know what I mean? And it was really impressive the way that he finished that triangle guillotine, you know, because he didn't have it locked in properly. And then he adjusted the grip here and then was pushing it up. It was a modified guillotine, very nicely done, you know, left Tony Ferguson tapping. And, you know, to do that against Tony, you know, who knows this game, who's a black belt in BJJ himself, been around forever. Yeah, very, very, very impressive, you know. But for Nate Diaz, his stock just goes through the goddamn roof now. Imagine if he was leaving after getting brutalized by Hamzat. Now he gets
like Kevin Holland did.
Well, Kevin Holland did. Let's be honest.
No, I'm saying like taking that level of a loss on your way out the door.
Yeah, yeah. No, I know, but he didn't. He beat a legend. He'd be Tony Ferguson. Nick Pete, who had worked with at BT Sport, we had him on the podcast a while ago, Nick and I.
Yeah, he's the man.
Yeah, he's awesome. He's a very good analyst, knows the fight game very well. He was saying that fight was really sloppy. He didn't enjoy it. He thought Nate Diaz looked old. He said Tony Ferguson looked like damaged goods. And I said, well, I think both of them had slowed down a bit. But for my money, that looked like a typical kind of Nate Diaz performance. He's always kind of a little slappy, a little sloppy, you know, but effective, good gas tank, you know, lots of pressure. You know, I didn't really see a decline. What did you think? And I'm not throwing Nick under the bus, by the way. I love him. He's a fucking awesome guy.
So, I mean, like, look, the antics with the, like, resting and taking a break mid-fight and not necessarily having that, like, killer instinct, you know, the same thing people were getting on him for in the Leon Edwards fight, right? Just not having that kind of killer instinct, like, when you have a guy hurt to go in and try to finish, that's always going to be frustrating. But that also kind of feels like in line with Diaz's personality, where he's like, yeah, I'm just going to keep piecing you up and landing these combos and make sure that my gas tank is like, you know, never in question, right? So from that extent, the break I didn't love, but everything else looked very, very clean from Diaz to me.
I kind of like those little breaks that he did. I mean, listen, there was a couple of times he was tired. He went for a little walk. He went for a little jog in the park. You know what I mean? Just get away from Ferguson for a minute. Let me catch my breath. Put my hands on my knees. Take a couple of breathers. Have a chat to Dana White. But it's the way he does it. You know, the way he masks it is that it's all part of the show. And it was very reminiscent, if you ask me, of the way that Anderson Silva used to punk his opponents. I remember when Nick Diaz fought him, led on the bloody canvas and, you know, was having a little nap. It was reminiscent of those type of things. So
I'm pretty sure Tony hit that too in this fight.
Did he?
I think at one point when Nate was on the outside, Tony just got down on the mat and did one of these. It was like a hat.
Yeah, he did. So, yeah, anyway, listen, well done to both men. Nate Diaz, what's he going to do now? I mean, who knows? Probably go off and box Jake Paul, you know? I said on my YouTube channel, I'll say it again. I wouldn't be surprised if we see Nate Diaz back in the octagon at some point. Because, yeah, there might be a big money fight with Jake Paul. That's great. I hope it goes. Hope it happens. Hope they make a ton of money. There might be a third fight with Conor outside the UFC. I find that difficult to believe because, you know, Conor would have to be out of contract with the UFC. But if they did do that, they would make a lot of money. And I think with those two fights alone, he could probably go off and retire into the sunset. But if those don't happen, I mean, what's he going to do? Bellator, PFL, ONE FC, bare knuckle boxing. Right now, the biggest gravy ticket for him would be fighting in pay-per-views in the UFC and getting a percentage of it and making millions of dollars.
Right. And it's like, you know, I don't know. Like the Jake Paul fight, to me, it's contingent upon Jake Paul beating Anderson Silva, which is so far from a foregone conclusion. It's insane. But yeah, there's the narrative there too, though, if and when Anderson does win, because I do believe Anderson is going to win. Anderson has the win in MMA over Nick, or, you know, to have those two then match up in boxing, shut up and take my money. Sure.
Yeah. Hey, listen, there you go. There's another great possibility as well. So, yeah, listen, either way, best of luck to him. I really do mean that. You know, I mean, the wars that he put on, the entertainment, the attitude, everything, you know, that's why people love him. I wish him nothing but the best. All right, let's just talk about rockauto.com. They have supported this show for a very long time now, and I'm very proud to be associated with them because they're a phenomenal business and they offer a phenomenal service. You know the deal by now. If you need something for a car, Rock Auto, they have it all. Anything that you are looking for, they have it, and at the best possible prices. That is why they are still in business and going strong after 20 years, because there's no middleman. There's no store. You don't have to get in the car, go there, try and be sold something you don't need, or have a guy that doesn't really know what he's talking about advising you on shitty stuff. No. RockAuto.com, you go there. They have everything that you need. I have no code for you because it's already so ridiculously cheap. Listen, if you've got a used car, it's probably appreciated in value because the car market is ridiculous right now, which is why now is the time to keep your car well-maintained, right? It feels good knowing that you're driving a reliable car anyway. And RockAuto.com will make it easier for you with every part, as I said, at already incredibly low prices. So look, listen, this is where you want to go. If you're a car guy or a car girl, get involved. Go to rockauto.com. Tell them that the Believe You Me podcast sent you there, please. But yeah, rockauto.com. One more time. All the auto parts that you need at amazing prices. All right, Harrington. So you did a great job on the notes as usual. What else have you got for me this week, my friend?
I got some here I just found on Twitter, guys. So apparently Anderson Silva and Chael Sonnen are hanging out at the Jake Paul fight press conference. And Anderson Silva has
just happened like an hour or two ago.
Yeah, like as we were filming. So apparently Anderson Silva has a very interesting question for Chael Sonnen. Let's check this out.
You never come to my house to my barbecue. Man. Why?
Okay, here's the thing. I didn't think it was a sincere offer. If I knew I was really invited,
of course,
and then I didn't know if your wife forgave me, it was a whole thing. That's the real answer why I didn't come.
You need to come, please.
In Brazil.
No, here. In Brazil, a lot of people try to kill you. Trust me.
I hate you.
Oh, that's brilliant, isn't it? That's awesome. It is. What's Chael doing involved there? Is he commentating the fight or something like that, Brian? Or is he just covering it for his YouTube channel or ESPN or something?
I'm not sure, but I'll find out.
Yeah,
so it seems like he's at the middle podium there. So I would imagine he's the moderator for that conference.
Right, right. Which is weird because normally Jake Paul, they use Ariel Helwani now, don't they? But that's great to see. You know what I mean? Because obviously Chael talked so much shit to Anderson throughout those two fights. I mean, the classic was fucking when he was trying to get feeding a carrot to the bus. So then the Garrett brothers were feeding a carrot. Oh, God. Chael was funny, man. That whole thing with Anderson. And it pissed Anderson off. I mean, he rose above it for the most part, but then eventually at some point he did kind of snap a little bit. But that's cool to see.
I bet it pissed him off until he got the check for the pay-per-view dollars that Chael Sonnen helped him make with that. So it's like, you know, every great champion does need a rival. That was Sonnen and Silva for, you know, part of the time that really got me invested in the sport. So it's great to see those two hanging out and joking about that now. It's cool.
Yeah. Every cloud has a silver lining. The guy's going to talk a lot of shit, but he's going to sell the fight for me. So, yeah, good stuff. Good stuff. All right. What has Renzo Gracie been up to, Harrington?
Well, Renzo Gracie, so the story came out, it was published on like a bunch of different people's Instagram accounts, right? Essentially, the way Renzo Gracie puts it, he was standing there talking Portuguese to somebody else who I'm assuming works for them at the Renzo Gracie Academy on the subway on the subway platform while they're waiting for the train. Some guy immediately started talking smack to him because, you know, he was speaking in Portuguese, was dirty form. Oh.
No. Sorry, I was going to ask that, but continue, yeah.
Yeah, he was just, you know, like, mocking him for being a foreigner and not speaking English. And so Renzo Gracie did not take kindly to that level of talk and showed the man immediately what was good.
Yeah, no, because I did see this the other day when it first came out, but I had no idea on the context of what happened. And obviously from this video, you can't see too much, obviously. Looks like that's Renzo there on top.
Oh, yeah, mauling him.
Yeah, yeah. So, but what did he do? I heard he forced him to apologize or something, yep. Didn't he?
So he got him into a position and just refused to let him go until he got an "I'm sorry" out of the guy. So, you know, watch who you're talking shit to on the subway, I guess.
Hey, listen. You know me. I'm all about it. You chat shit, you get banged. Okay, I don't do that. But wouldn't that be a great world we could fucking live in? But the problem is you can't do that these days. And even though I fully 100% support Enzo Gracie doing that, and it looks like, you know, the guy just got up and walked away. You know, this day. Hey, listen, no, I'm not fucking criticizing Enzo. I'm all about it. And I'm just happy for him because it sounds like the guy was a racist piece of shit, you know, and there's no place for people like that in society. And it's great that Enzo put him in his place. But, you know, sometimes that can come back and bite him in the ass. Damien Maia 11.
Threw a punch. That was from before. That was when we were doing submissions.
Oh, really?
Apparently the guy attacked him for, like, I don't know if he threw a punch, but he put hands on Enzo before Enzo took him down. And
edit that bit before out, Brad, because that's the story that we're going with, because we got Enzo's back on this one. Yeah, so the guy was being racist, and then he swung a punch at Enzo Gracie. Hey, well, listen, there you go. No, fair play. You know, there's some fucking idiots out there. So what is talking fucking Portuguese? He's Brazilian. You're living in New York. Was that in New York, I'm assuming?
Yeah, it's in New York City.
One of the most cosmopolitan, racially diverse, different type of languages. I mean, how many languages do you think you hear on a daily basis walking through a busy section of New York?
Bare minimum 6 or 7.
Yeah, you probably got Chinese, Japanese, English, Spanish, Portuguese, fucking all sorts. Yeah, Swahili.
There's Indian. It's a whole, it is a melting pot, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of all about, but it's like, I don't know, it's 2022. If I hear two men speaking Portuguese to each other, the first thing I'm doing is checking the ears. Why are you throwing a punch at a guy who looks like Enzo Gracie? That's insane.
Yeah, that's right. It's not like Brazilian jiu-jitsu is a secret anymore, is it? You know what I mean? It's very, very well known that it's a thing. You know, you look at Enzo Gracie, you look at the ears, you look at the build of him, you look at the look on his face. Enzo Gracie doesn't look like anybody's mug. Do you know what I mean? So this guy was maybe drunk or off his face or whatever, or just blind on hatred. 2022, bro, get a fucking grip. Good on Enzo Gracie making him look a fool, but doing it in a way where it didn't, you know, didn't hurt him too bad, didn't scar him for life, just embarrassed him and sent him away with his tail between his legs. Love it.
And
beautiful.
Got the apology.
Yeah, exactly. Fucking right, he did. All right, what else is going on, Harrington? What else do we have to cover on the card? Li Jingliang and Daniel Rodriguez. I thought it was a good fight. I'll just come out and say it. I thought Li Jingliang probably edged it, in my opinion. I'm always very hesitant to say that because it wasn't a robbery. It was a close fight. I probably thought it was going to go to Li, but it didn't. And I don't want to take away from the hard work and effort that Daniel Rodriguez put out. It was an entertaining fight. I thought Li looked really good. Footwork was improved. Fantastic head movement on display. Good shot selection. I thought he looked great. But, you know, two out of the three judges thought D-Rod did more. It wasn't a robbery. What are you going to do?
The reason they thought that is because he did, in fact, do more. Daniel Rodriguez outstruck him 88-78 over the course of the bout. Got off 185 strikes versus 175 strikes. He was the more active fighter. The one takedown from Li came in the absolute final 2 seconds of that second round. For me, I had no problem with it. I had Daniel Rodriguez before the fight, and I thought for sure, you know, unless there was some screwed up things happening, that Rodriguez would get the decision. So all these people talking about a robbery, I just didn't see it.
No, it wasn't a robbery, and I didn't have an issue with the score. I'm just being honest at that time. You know, we were talking here, we're talking freely. I'm not going to lie. At the moment in time, I thought it's probably going to go to Leach. When it didn't, I was like, whatever. It's one of those. It was a pretty close fight. And I saw the stats that D-Rod landed more, but that doesn't always paint a true image. But saying that, the punches from Jingliang weren't exactly, you know, knocking him all over the octagon. He didn't come close to finishing him. It's not like the punches that he had so much impact it would outweigh the higher volume. You understand what I mean? But hey, it is what it is. Aurelien Aldana looked phenomenal. The only she looked phenomenal in round one, let's be honest. Not so phenomenal in round two and three, but the finish, very unique, a little bit different. Question. So who was it? Joe Rogan says, is that something you trained in training camp? So yes, it is. I don't know if it was. I don't know. I mean, you train up kicks. You do. You train up kicks. You put one foot on the knee, and then that kind of, you propel yourself up from that and then fire your other leg off. You know, you always train up kicks. They're a devastating technique. I don't know about... Hey, God bless her, though. She threw a shot. It landed. It fucking dropped Macy Chasson. She doesn't want to undermine her own knockout victory or TKO victory. So I get it. I get it. Good for her, man.
Yeah, I mean, what's she going to say? You know, every now and then a blind squirrel gets a nut. No, I do think, you know, a lot of fighters were on, you know, social media afterwards saying that that is something that they plan on starting to train for. And it's like, I don't know, I guess it's a better question. Not necessarily like, was she trying it, but is that something that's repeatable now that we've seen the move used in practice in an MMA octagon? Is that something you think you could train for?
Of course. Absolutely. You can. Yeah. Yeah. Why couldn't you? You know, it's not, you know, I mean, she just landed it. It just worked, you know? I mean, I guess the actual positions of the bodies have to be perfect and all the rest of it, but they have to be perfect to upkick someone in the fucking face. If they're too far away, you're not going to land. And a lot of the time what people do is they control like the legs and they lean away to protect the face. Well, you can still connect to the body. So you never know. She might have started a new trend there. Well done for her. And that's the thing with MMA, isn't it? You know, you see new things all the time. I mean, the calf kick, for example, a few years ago. I mean, look, we're talking, I retired end of 2017, you know, January 2018, whatever. I've never taken a calf kick in my life because they just weren't a thing back then. I mean, I'm sure some people did. Benson Henderson used them, but they weren't like they are now. They weren't commonplace as a part of the mixed martial arts arsenal. You know, now they are. Every fight, every event, calf kicks are doing a lot of damage. You know, shoulder strikes. It was not Conor McGregor who invented them. Shoulder strikes have been a part of a thing for a, you know, part of sport for a while. But we're always seeing these new things. It's going to be interesting in, I don't know, 5-10 years time to see what people are doing. You know, they're going to be calf kicking and knee healing people to the liver. That's what it's going to be. No, but it is always evolving, isn't it? You know what I mean? Yeah. Started off, the jiu-jitsu guys were on top. Then it was the wrestlers, they came along. Then the kickboxers at a time. And then it all started to blend together. But it is beautiful to see the evolution, the level of the athletes getting better, and the new techniques being discovered and implemented all the time.
Yeah, I don't know. For me, you know, my thought process has always been, if anybody can figure out how to do, you know, like consistently set up combos that start with lead elbows, right? Like that to me is the next evolution of the game. Once people start figuring out how to throw those with precision and accuracy because they can split a guard so well, I don't know. That is, I'm waiting for that to happen.
Well, the problem with that, Hamilton, is that if you're out of range, if you're even at boxing range, an elbow won't land. You have to cover distance, obviously. An elbow shot has nowhere near as much length as a punch. A kick has even further than a punch, you know what I mean? So it's all about ranges. So elbows, I mean, you can do an advancing elbow where you step in, and with that step in, you minimize the distance. Certainly up against the fence, if you have somebody backed up against the fence and they've got nowhere to back up, obviously, elbows are great to use there. You know, but you do see people stepping in, you know, using lead elbows and stuff like that. But that is why you don't see as often, because A, Thai boxers do it fantastically because it's a part of their arsenal. They are fucking masters at it. You know, but in mixed martial arts, there's so many different facets to learn. You know, it's hard to go, right, I'm going to master the elbow game. You know what I mean? And Tony Ferguson, Tony time, he liked to throw a few elbows, didn't he? But yeah, ain't nobody doing elbow combinations from boxing range because they're not going to fucking land. You're going to get uppercutted or punched, jabbed, right hooked, something like that. Anyway, what have we got, Harrington?
All right, let's see here. Okay, how about this one? No, I'll save that for when Anthony's on a little bit later. Do you want to talk about Ty Cobb's dentures?
Who the fuck is Ty Cobb?
He was a baseball player. He was born in the 1800s. He retired in like 1920 something, right? He's a very, very old baseball player.
Mike, baseball is like cricket, except for the bats are smaller.
Yeah, baseball. Brian likes to have little digs about England, doesn't he? You know, Jesus Christ. Keep that same energy when you see me, bro. Yeah, baseball is like cricket. Yeah, and baseball is also like rounders, which is what we play in the UK.
I don't know what rounders is.
I'm an uncultured animal. I don't know what rounders is.
Rounders is a girl's game. Sorry, guys and girls listening to this podcast, but it's true. just Google rounders in the UK. It's baseball, but only girls play it, right? Real men play cricket. I don't listen to cricket, by the way, or watch it. You know, it's not really my thing. But I tell you, who does play cricket and used to play it at a very high level? Martin Ford, the most dangerous man in the world, or the scariest man in the world, who we're going to get on the podcast. He's agreed to do it. We will do that soon. He was a cricket player, believe it or not. So don't be talking shit about cricket players, because you never know.
I love cricket. I get so hyped for the World Championship of Cricket, though. The ODI World Cup comes around once every 4 years. I love
it. Hold on. Are you actually serious, Harrington?
I swear to God, I stay up till like 4 a.m. watching like New Zealand versus Australia constantly. It is some of the most fun.
Why can't you watch England versus Australia?
I mean, I'm sure I can. I have. I bet heavily against England in the semifinals last time for good reason.
What have we got here, Brian? Is this a video?
No, it's just a picture of some dude playing rounders. But look at how look at how small that bat is.
Yeah. Even smaller.
What is that game?
It's same as baseball. It's not the same. It's not the same. It's not played at nowhere near a high level. Girls play it at school. Even guys play it sometimes. You know, there's a little bat. You have a bigger ball. But it's the same thing. You hit the ball and you run around in a circle. I guess you could say it was inspired by baseball. Cricket. Yeah, no, I've never been into cricket. My younger brother, Adam, I remember I walked into our bedroom one day and he was listening to cricket on the radio, right? And it's like, cricket's a boring sport to watch at the best of times. Listening to it on the radio, I walked in and he's laid there on the bed like this. He's got the old school hi-fi on, listening to the fucking cricket. I said, it's a beautiful day. You don't get many of them in England. I'm like, Adam, what are you doing? He said, I'm listening to the cricket. I said, you're not coming out for a beer or something. I said, come on. He goes, I'm listening to the cricket. I said, what's your problem? He goes, you're missing a fucking good game. I'm like, right. You're not my brother. I'm officially disowning you. Anyway, there you go. Enough cricket talk because I know nothing about it. And shout out all you cricketers out there. All right, let's just talk about Shopify real quick. Listen, if you've got a store, if you've got a shop, if you've got a business, you need to have an online presence, okay? You got to capitalize on the entire bloody world, but it sounds complicated and it also sounds very expensive. You know, of course, you got to get a website built, then you got to have the online e-commerce section to be able to take credit card payments and all the rest of it. Well, Shopify gives entrepreneurs the resources which were once reserved for big businesses to startups. Okay, so upstart startups and established businesses alike, they can sell everywhere. They can also synchronize online. And they can synchronize in-person sales and they effortlessly can stay informed. Listen, that's what I'm talking about, okay? Shopify makes it absolutely easy, okay? All you got to do is go to shopify.com. You can reach customers online and across social networks with an ever-integrating suite of channel integrations, you know, like the apps, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, all that stuff. You gain insights as you grow with detailed reports of all your conversion rates, your profit margins and all that stuff. It is more than shop. Shopify grows with you. Look, listen, as I said, whatever your business is, you want to take it online, right? There's millions, billions, in fact, of people out there. Like mine, Shopify powers over millions of businesses from first sale to absolute first scale. And of course, we have a fantastic deal for you. As I said, doing it by yourself, getting a website, getting an e-commerce section, all that stuff, complicated, time-consuming, and very expensive. Shopify makes it quick, easy, and cheap. Go to shopify.com/believe, all lowercase, and you're going to get a free 14-day trial. So you get full access to all Shopify's entire suite of features. You can grow your business today with Shopify by going to Shopify, S-H-O-P-I-F-Y, shopify.com/believe right now. Listen, it's a free 14-day trial. Check it out. You're going to love it. Shopify.com/believe. Let's have a look. Give me a story. Give me a story. Paulo Costa says that he wants Robert Whittaker, does he?
Yeah. So he came out and he's like, look, I got one fight left on my UFC contract. I think the fight that you want to see, that I want to see, that everybody wants to see is Paulo Costa versus Robert Whittaker, two guys with big punching power. You know, he just thinks it's going to be a super fun fight stylistically. Like, what do you think of the matchup?
I absolutely love that. I love it. I mean, Robert Whittaker showed in Paris. You know, I mean, he's something special. He really is. He's amazing. And when you think of who is there left in the middleweight division, I mean, there's probably a few more, but there's not many people that the top guys that Whittaker hasn't fought. And there is one of them, Paulo Costa. So if he's going to fight out his contract and he wants to test the open market and have a look around, I think that would be a fantastic final fight. I mean, for the fans, for us watching, fucking unbelievable. Unbelievable. Yeah, sign me up, take my money. What's your issue with it, Harrington?
I have absolutely no issue with it. I mean, other than the fact that I don't want to see, there's something about Paulo Costa to me for the way that he's handled himself, especially recently. I kind of don't want to see him get rewarded, right? A Robert Whittaker fight at this point is like, you know, it's one step down from the title, right? Like it's, you know, if you can beat Robert Whittaker, you're guaranteed a title shot at this point in my mind, right? So to put Paulo Costa in that position, I don't really feel like it's you know, as warranted or deserved as some of the other guys, like in the top five, maybe. But, you know, as you said, a lot of those guys have already fought Robert Whittaker and have lost to him. So, yeah, why not?
I mean, Marvin Vettori, same thing. I mean, he hadn't fought Robert Whittaker. And that's why I said to Robert, I said, why are you having this fight? It's a dangerous fight for both men. He said, well, he's one of the few that I haven't fought. So Robert being the way he is, having the attitude that he is, and just being the type of fighter that he is, I'm sure he'd have absolutely no problem with it. But going back to Hamzat for a second, you were saying, you know, they might make him fight at 185. Hamzat and Paulo Costa. I mean, that would be fucking good because you're saying, you know, put him in for a title fight. That's too soon. But he does have 6 wins in a row now. 5 of them just demolishing his opponents. Didn't get hit again against Kevin Holland, but he was talking a lot of shit to Paulo Costa last week, you know? So that would be a good fight.
Yeah, I don't hate that at all, actually. Now I'm way more excited for that fight. I would like Paulo, that fight so much more than Whittaker versus Costa.
Yeah, Paulo Costa, Hamzat Chimaev. I mean, that gets my juices flowing. I like that.
Yeah. Especially, all I right. was just trying to look up, like, I don't know what Costa's takedown defense is, but I feel like it's very, very high. Like, it's crazy high. He's not been taken down a lot. So, you know, seeing, you know, a true 185er, right? A true 185-pound man, if Hamzat could do that in the wrestling department against him, then, yeah, I don't know who else you match up against him. But saying all that, I would like to see, I was going to say, if Pereira beats Adesanya, I think Whittaker versus Pereira has to be the next fight, no?
No. And everyone seems to think I have this fucking hard on for Israel Adesanya. Do you know what I mean? Which is weird because Izzy went through a phase of thinking I was a hater on him. Do you know what I mean? I think if Izzy loses to Pereira, I think his reign of dominance has been strong enough to warrant another fight, a rematch. And granted, that will be 3-0-3 against Pereira, 2 of them being kickboxing. But in the MMA, he would have lost one fight. And he's been a dominant champion, and he's been a superstar for the company. You know, I think when you've got that kind of body of work, you get a rematch. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. What do you think? Do you disagree?
No, I mean, look, for me, somebody like Robert Whittaker, who's out there beating every other top contender that they throw at him, and it's like, you know, we're right here. There's a new champion. I should, by rights, be fighting that new champion. You know, that just lines up well to me. I mean, it depends, I guess, if the loss does happen, how he loses.
No. Listen. And I don't disagree with what you're saying. I don't. If anyone deserves a fucking crack at the belt and a crack at a different champion, of course it's Robert Whittaker. Of course, and there's a lot of other people out there probably chomping at the bit, hoping that Adesanya does get beat, because if they get a new champ, it opens up the division again. All right, there's a possibility that Adesanya becomes a champion again and we're back to square one. But yeah, listen, I'm not disagreeing with what you say. I just, what, 6 title defenses? 6 title defenses, he probably gets a rematch, more than likely. But I want to talk about that Madison Square Garden card. They just confirmed Michael Chandler, Dustin Poirier. That's a fucking banging fight. In fact, that fight card altogether is coming along well. But I just saw in the notes there, this took me by surprise today. I woke up here in Bulgaria. I looked at my phone, having my morning coffee, and I see the news that Elias Theodoro has passed away. I think he was, how old was he? I think he was only young, like early 30s, I believe. Like 31. 34.
Yeah, he was born 30 days after me.
And a mutual friend of ours He messaged me today. He was only diagnosed. It was liver cancer that he passed away from. And he was only diagnosed with it in May. In fucking May. Do you know what I mean? And straight away, it was stage 4 cancer. So it was too late to do anything about. I knew nothing about it. I didn't know he was sick. I didn't see any news stories. Diagnosed in May. And what are we in now? September. Gone. My God.
Poor
man. Awful, man. It's fucking awful. It's awful. He was such a nice guy, you know. He really, really was. He was like just a nice guy. You couldn't say anything bad about him. It's so sad, you know. It really is.
Yeah. I mean, the OG cannabis athlete, he was the ring car boy in Invicta. I mean, talk about somebody who came into mixed martial arts and genuinely had a good time in the sport, right? Like, that is the number one lasting memory of Elias Theodora for me, is somebody who was really enjoying his time both in the octagon and just working for the UFC.
Hey, and listen, he had a great run as well. I mean, he was only beaten by some of the best people. Brian, can you just have a look at his record? I think he was like something like 19-3. I think something like that. And he only lost. He had some good wins and he only lost to the absolute very, very best as well. No, he had a good run. Did he win the Ultimate Fighter? He was on the Ultimate Fighter as well, I believe.
He won the Ultimate Fighter Nations. 19-3 in his UFC career. Only losses to Derek Brunson, Thiago Santos, and Brad Tavares. No shame in any of those three.
No. Oh, God. So sad. Just fact check this for me, Brian, but I do believe I've read it somewhere once. I think it's 1 in 4 people get cancer. I think that's what I've read. One in four people. Just look that up for me, Brian, and double check that, because if that is true, I mean, Jesus, 1 in 4, that's a quarter of people. You know, I mean, I've had a few family members get cancer and sadly pass away, you know, like aunties and uncles and things like that. But just, you know, it makes you think, doesn't it? What is it saying?
Approximately 40% of people will be diagnosed with cancer at some point in their life.
Wow. 40%. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
I find it really hard to understand how somebody who goes through regular physicals for their job, like how it wasn't caught earlier.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, I mean, I'm not a doctor, but when we're going through physicals for a fight, and again, Brian, is there some kind of conspiracy that is dwelling in your mind there that you are?
No, I'm just saying, like, don't you guys have to get blood work all the time? Don't you guys have to do, like, I mean, full body physicals all the time, right?
Yep. Once a year. I mean, unless there's a bad injury, if you get very, very hurt and you get suspended, you have to get cleared by a doctor. We have to get our eyes done once a year. We have to get blood work done once a year, I believe, a general physical. You get a whole overhaul. But I guess it depends what they're looking for. You know what I mean? But when they take blood, this is why I'm hesitating, because I don't know. But I think a certain type of screening, a certain type of test to find cancer. I think they're looking more for, you know, transmissible diseases through blood. No, they're not looking for steroids. That's USADA. You know what I mean? But they don't want you bleeding in the octagon and then giving HIV, hepatitis, or whatever else there could be to your opponent.
Your doctor wouldn't tell on you if you were using steroids and he caught you outside of, like, let's say USADA didn't catch you, but your doctor was catching you.
Well, the doctor can't say jack shit, could he? Because he's bound by a code. HIPAA, there you go.
Yeah, I guess.
Doctor couldn't say fuck all. You know, but yeah, no, that will be why, Brian. Yeah, because they got to screen for certain stuff. So it's wild. 40%. Jesus Christ, man.
Yeah, that's 39.5 to be exact. But
39.5. What's the most popular? Can you see that? Sorry, common. The most popular. Oh, do you know what? I absolutely love lung cancer. That's my favorite.
I would imagine it's skin cancer, but prostate cancer kills a lot.
All right. Hold on. Well, prostate for men, definitely. You're going with skin cancer. Lung cancers are probably a big one because of the smoking. But in terms of what is the most common cancer? I'll go with the lungy.
All right. Most common cancers in descending order are breast cancer, lung, and bronchus cancer.
So breast is one or 10?
Breast is one. No, breast, top to bottom. Breast is the most popular, then lung and bronchus, then prostate, colon and rectum, and then melanoma of the skin.
Breast cancer. Oh, God. Yeah, that's scary, isn't it? You know.
Yeah. Well, you got twice as likely.
Well, no, but the prostate cancer is where you get two balls, unless you're a womble. You know what I mean? So
I still think you only have one prostate, though.
Yeah, but you got two balls.
Fair enough.
True.
You got cancer. All right. You got one set of breasts.
Okay. No, but men. That's fair. And men can get breast cancer. That is real.
Oh, can they really? Yeah. Well, I saw Jake Shields shared something on Twitter today. Just see if you can bring this up. Jake Shields put on Twitter, we're normalizing men. And it was like a being fat or whatever. And it was like a guy in a bra. And do you know who Booger Beard is? Do you know who that guy is on Twitter?
Yeah. He is.
Booger Beard responds straight away because, oh, I think he looks cute. Oh, God. Yeah. Just bring that up, Brian. I don't know why I'm saying this. It just meant you're talking about men having breast cancer. And I just saw a picture today of a dude wearing a bra. What is the tweet? Yeah. They're like a good kebab.
Let's not normalize men so fat they need to wear a bra. This isn't okay, nor should it be glorified.
Well, he's absolutely right, to be fair. 100% he does. You know, it's unhealthy. It's unhealthy to be out of shape. Of course, you don't want to body shame people and fat shame people, but being healthy should be prioritized over that. And if you're going to get sensitive because someone says, hey, I think you should lose a few, especially if that's your doctor saying, hey, you're on the verge of diabetes, you're a size fucking 48 waistline, okay, you're massively obese, you can't go, oh my God, but that's insensitive. It's like, yeah, I'm trying to save your life, buddy. I'm trying to help you, you know? Jay Shields is absolutely right there.
I'd argue, Mr. Jake Shields, that it has been too long that we have not had a plus-size male model. So hats off to that guy, right? There has been fat chicks calling themselves models for 15 years now. It's about time a dude got a real ad campaign by being just a tubby dude. I love it.
Careful gendering people in pictures, Mike.
All right, fair enough. Fair enough. All right.
It's a minefield. It's a minefield. No, listen, you know. Healthy, be healthy. That's the main thing. What do I know? I can't sit here. Anyway, just bring up the fight card for Madison Square Garden, UFC 281. What are we on now? 279. What's UFC 280? What's the next one?
It's Abu Dhabi. Yeah.
Fucking hell, that's a big one. So what's that? Makhachev and Oliveira. Mm-hmm. It's who else is on that? It's a crazy card. Beneil Dariush, I think. Bring it up.
Sorry. I'm pulling up. I just pulled up 281. I'm taking a look
at 281. Yeah, no, sorry.
You're good.
I was getting hyped about Madison Square Garden. I hope you get to go there.
Aljo versus TJ. Jan versus O'Malley. Beneil versus Matthias Gamrot. And Chikagian versus Manon Firot.
That is Firot.
Sorry.
Firot. You said it in a very British accent, Harrington.
I don't know.
Manon Furot. What a fight card that is. By the way, Manon Furot, if you're not Furot, I don't know. Have you seen her fight?
I have not. I was actually excited for the Paris card because I wanted to see this exact fight on the Paris card. So I'm psyched that it's going to be on this pay-per-view.
Manon Furot is unbelievable. Keep an eye out for that one. I'm telling you, she'll fight Shevchenko down the line and she would give her a bloody good fight. I'm telling you. Yeah. Abu Dhabi.
If she gets past Chikagian, she's 100% getting Valentina next, right? Is that that's Robert Whittaker rules apply to Chikagian at this point, in my mind, in that division. If you can beat her, you're next in line for a title shot.
Well, that's it, isn't it? And it's such a shame for Chikagian because she is like the gatekeeper of title shots. You know, fought Shevchenko, wasn't good enough to beat her, but she's almost good enough to beat everybody else. You know, so she's in that weird spot.
It's good job security, though, you know?
Well, it is. But I just want to say, condolences to the family of Elias Theodorou. That's so sad. We'll move on because obviously we don't, you know, people come here for a laugh and a bit of escapism. But still, you know, when one of our community passes away like that and so young in such tragic circumstances, it's awful. It really is, you know? Look after your bodies, ladies and gentlemen. Going back to fucking being fat and all the rest of it and not being shamed. You only get one body. You get one body, you got to look after it. And I'm sitting here preaching. I'm not perfect. You know, I eat a pretty good diet, but I drink a little bit. But I don't drink a lot. But I work out every day. I run, I lift weights. I try and eat healthy foods, lots of vegetables. I'll tell you what, I'm living off room service here at this hotel. I've never had so many vegetables in my life. It's great. What were you going to say, Harrington?
What were you going to
push back on?
I was just going to ask when the last time you had your prostate examined.
Never.
Me neither. And now I'm never. Like, it's like, yo, for you to say that this was liver cancer, it was discovered in May, and he's already gone by, you know, we're barely into September here. I for the first time, kind of want to go see a doctor and get my blood work done.
BYM
you know?
Road trip. Let's get our prostates checked together.
Yeah, yeah, baby! We're going to go get fingers up our asses. Oh, no, that's the Amsterdam trip. what does it – is that what a prostate exam entails? Do they stick a finger up your ass?
Yep.
No wonder you're going for one. I bet you can't fucking wait.
Dude, I am an excuse. I do not want to leave. I do not want to leave my girlfriend alone. You know, I do. This actually, I've been very anti-doctor my whole life. This is the first time I've been sitting here like, man, I really got to schedule a test.
Yeah.
Stuff. Because that's literally my age. He was 30 days younger than me, and he's dead from cancer in 3 months. Like,
yeah,
you should get a screening for sure.
No, absolutely. I've got to go get what they call a plaque test on my heart as well. Because I was having, I don't know, I was like, probably just being a bit paranoid. I thought I was having like mini heart attacks and stuff. And my heart, I was getting a lot of pains in my heart. I was Googling it. When I was commentating UFC Singapore, I kept like breathing in it. I could feel my heart, but then I kept Googling it. I couldn't find anything, but it's gone now. And I think maybe it was a rib. Maybe I had something wrong with my rib.
Sometimes you'll pull a muscle in your back or your rib and it'll feel like a heart attack. It's wild. I've done that.
Yeah, yeah. No, I know. And I was freaking out. I really was. But I went to see the doctor because my dad had a heart attack, I think, when he was about 41. And then now he's had what they call a quintuplet heart bypass. 5 heart bypasses. Sawed his chest open, ripped him open. They take the veins and arteries from the legs and they replace them all, you know. So it's a heart disease in the family. So I went to see the doctor. And he said, yeah, fucking gnarly.
Take me to the vet.
Put me down. Put me down. No, he said, all you're going to do is get a plaque test. He said, what they do is you get your heart scanned and they'll tell you right then and there if there's an issue. You know, that was about 4 months ago. Still haven't been for it yet. But I did call to make an appointment, but no one picked up the phone. I'll get it done now. I'll get it done, especially now. Rest in peace, Elias Theodoro. All right, let's just talk about True Classic, a new sponsor. We're very happy they have come on board because True Classic, they have the absolute best fitting t-shirts that a man can buy. Listen, you know the deal. Finding the right t-shirt, if you've got big old guns or let's say you've got a bit of a dad bod, it's frustrating. Most t-shirts are way too tight in the wrong places or they look too big and boxy and you're spending countless hours at the gym trying to look good. Why not spend 5 more minutes trying to get a t-shirt that actually fits correctly? True Classic has already helped over 2 million men finally get a better fit at an affordable price. Our listeners get access to the very best deal that they offer. For a limited time, we are offering 25% off. Look, listen, the reality is girls, they got push-up bras. And guys, well, they now have these t-shirts. We want you to show off your best assets, but we're never given the right fit to do so. It's important. T-shirts, they do fit a little bit weird. These ones from True Classic, first of all, the fabrics are very, very soft. They're high quality. They feel great. They're comfortable on your skin. And the fit is fantastic, okay? You're wearing the wrong clothes. You need True Classic. Their tees taper off towards the bottom, but they fit tighter around the chest and shoulders. So, boys, it's time to highlight your greatest attributes with a t-shirt that you can always confidently throw on. Now, listen, True Classic don't just shop at tees. No, they are your one-stop shop for all men's essentials. Super easy and simple to fill out on your wardrobe, from polos, workout shirts with the same tapering fit to boxer briefs designed with a pouch to keep your bulge nice and comfortable. All of their gear also, as I said, it is top-notch quality at affordable prices. Listen, show off all that hard work that you've been achieving in the gym with their activewear crew necks. They are moisture wicking. They prevent body odor. And you will get noticed. They have this dope pack builder on the website where you can custom bundle all of their essential products and save even more than the discount which we are offering today. And listen, if you're a big old boy, if you're a big tall guy or a little bit of a wide guy, they've got you covered. They go up to all the way to XXL. So it's about time you learn how to dress yourself properly. Upgrade your wardrobe with True Classic. Get 25% off. Big discount. 25% off at trueclassic.com when you use the code Bisping. Free shipping included on purchases over $100. That's 25% off at True Classic with the code Bisping. Strengthen your core wardrobe with True Classic today. What else we got, Harrington? Moving on.
Friend of the show, Darren Till looks like he's got a fight booked for December.
Mm. Dries Duplessis.
Yeah, the South African, I believe he is 6-1 in competition.
Let me just bring him up. Yeah.
I'll be honest.
He's what?
Number 12 ranked in the middleweight division right now.
Number 12. And he's Darren a banger, isn't it? I'll be honest, off the top of my head right now, I can't really. I've never commentated one of his fights. Dries Duplessis, hold on, Tapology. Let me have a look at him. Yeah. He's a striker, so obviously that side of things favours Darren, because obviously that's how Darren likes to get the job done, and he's one of the best on the feet. 17-2 is the record. Comes from South Africa, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. Had a big reputation before coming to the UFC. So to agree to fucking cookies.
Go on. 17 pro wins, 7 by knockout, 9 by submission. This is only going to be his fourth fight in the UFC, but he is on a 1-2-3-4-5 fight winning streak, including 2 outside of the promotion.
Yeah, knocked out Marcus Perez, ground and pound finish over Trevin Giles, and a decision over Brad Tavares. Not an easy fight for either man. You know, Darren's got balls, man, you know. To be 1-4 in your last 5, it's like what we just said against Tony Ferguson, you know? But if you believe you're one of the best, then that's what you do. They're the type of fights that you accept. We'll reach out to Darren, see if we can get him on the show. It's been a while, obviously, since his last fight. We didn't want to bother him too much, and he's been off bloody carrying Hamzat's bag, so he's been busy. But we'll have a word, see if we can get him on. See if you can put Hamzat's cock down for 2 seconds, okay, and just come on the podcast for a minute, Darren. All right, mate, we want to talk to you about your upcoming fights against Dries Duplessis. All right, mate. No, good fight. When's that taking place?
That is going to be at UFC 282 in December. That's the one that's headlined by Glover Teixeira versus Jiří Procházka, part 2.
And that's happening in Rio, is it?
I believe so. No, I think that one is in. I think that one is stateside. If I'm not
mistaken.
Is
it really?
I think. Let me double check, because
they're doing Jiří versus Glover again. Because I know they're going down to Rio. I think it's January.
Yeah. Yeah, so I know it's early next year.
That's crazy. That's crazy that... No, you got to be wrong. You got to be wrong there, Harrington.
I just looked it up. UFC 282 is at T-Mobile Arena on December 10th.
Hey, man. I just thought for Glover Teixeira, you know, it would have been awesome for him to have a title fight down in Brazil, but maybe not so awesome for Jiří Procházka. You know, he's like, I don't want to go down again. Vuman O'Hare, or whatever it is they chant. Vuman O'Hare or something. You're going to die. Something like that. Yeah. All right. So Darren Till's fighting in Vegas. I think Paddy the Baddy's going to be on that as well, isn't he?
Oh, all right. There we go. That makes sense. I mean, they did say they wanted to get him out to Vegas. I thought Paddy was, they were trying to get him on the New York card. Is there no, they're going to.
No, Molly's going to be on the New York card.
Oh, okay. That's what it was.
Paddy said he doesn't want to fight in New York because he doesn't want to pay those fucking taxes. And I get it.
Yeah.
Smart kid.
Yeah, but listen, you just got to fight where you're going to fight. You know, sometimes the taxes are okay. Sometimes they're a pain in the ass. You know, the funny thing is years later, I still get fucking tax bills. It drives me crazy from like Canada or New York or certain states. Do you know what I mean? Oh, yeah, by the way, you owe us another $6,000. I'm like, why? Why? Yeah. It's heartbreaking. It is.
Half a decade ago. Fuck off.
Yeah, yeah. I've been retired for ages. Okay. And I'm still paying fucking taxes on those fights. Piss off. Anyway, we got a non-MMA subject. Is there anything we should get to that we haven't got to, Harrington?
Wait, in the world of MMA or the world of non-MMA?
The world of MMA.
Okay, let's see.
Is there any big news we haven't got to?
Chandler? Well, we didn't. Yeah, I mean, I guess we talked about the Chandler Poirier thing. No, I think that's about it.
Well, Chandler Poirier, we never really got into it. Go on.
It's a silly one, but...
Go on. I want to hear what you call silly.
Nigel Farage is calling out former MP Boris Johnson. Former PM Boris Johnson. Sorry about that. For a boxing match. What do you think about that? No.
I'd rather spend the last 5 minutes of the show before we go to questions By the way, if you have a question, send them into bympod@gmail.com. I'd rather talk about Dustin Poirier and Michael Chandler. Okay. You know what I mean? I'm not going to sit here and talk about Boris Johnson. That's just Nigel Farage being a dickhead. You know, Nigel Farage, no one talks about him anymore. You know, and Boris Johnson is no longer the prime minister. I mean, it's quite the week we just had in England. Quite the shake-up, isn't it? We've got a new king. We've got a new prime minister. You know. Anyway, Dustin Poirier, Michael Chandler. That is, I mean, what a fight. Sensational matchup. Both guys hunting for another title fight. That's what that is there. Again, you know, you got to fight the people that you got to fight, just like Vittori and Whittaker. You know what I mean? It's like one of those fights. They both fought for the belt kind of recently. They're both top of the food chain lightweights, but they both want to fight for the belt and they want to be involved in the biggest fights ever or possible. So I love it. I love the matchup. Early prediction from you, Harrington. How do you think that goes?
Dude, that is, you just throw me right into the, on the spot here. I was going to say, because it's New York, something screwy is going to happen, right? Because it's a fight we've wanted for a very long time, and New York just screws up these fights somehow. But I don't see the path to that for either of these men. I mean, I don't know. I find it very hard to bet against Dustin Poirier, right, in any fight, in just about any fight. And, I mean, I don't have that same fear against Michael Chandler. I can't give you a technical reason as to why. I don't know where Poirier's better. I mean, probably the range boxing. Poirier would have to be better. But, I mean, you know, the wrestling is a big factor. Power is a big factor. I still think I'm going to say Poirier by decision.
Yeah, I mean, Poirier's got more experience, I believe. I think if you're looking for advantages, you'd give Chandler an advantage in wrestling. Probably power and strength as well, you know, but not by a massive margin, you know. So it's a good fight. It's a good fight is what it is. It's a logical matchup. It's a good matchup. And it's also one, I mean, because who else is there after... When Charles and Islam fight next month, which what a fight that is going to be. Who's next up, you know, for whoever it is? Let's just assume, I'm not saying that Oliveira wins, but let's just assume Charles Oliveira remains the champion. Who's next? Are you looking at the rankings there? What are the next few up?
Well, I mean, we have Charles Oliveira there's no champion right now. So Charles Oliveira is number one, Dustin Poirier number two. Justin Gaethje number three, Islam Makhachev number four.
So Gaethje's just, he's not going to get it. Islam Makhachev is fighting for it now. So who else is there?
Chandler, Beneil Dariush, and then it gets down to Rafael Fiziev and Rafael Dos Anjos, Matthias Gamrot, yeah. Armin Sarukian.
Dos Anjos, love the guy, but it ain't going to be Dos Anjos.
He said that himself.
Yeah,
did you hear that?
He did. Okay. Yeah, I did. Yeah, and I thought it was very honest and open to him. You know, what was the actual quote? He said, "Listen, I've been fighting the best of the best of the best. I've been fighting contenders, title challengers, title eliminators for the last God knows how many years. Now it's time for me to step back and just take on some guys more of my own age that weren't contenders." Something along those lines. I'm paraphrasing, of course, but I believe it was words to those effect.
Yeah, you it was got something it there? Like. No, I'm looking for the actual title, for the actual quote here, but I believe it was, "My title run is over. I would like to fight fighters to preserve my legacy or legacy
yeah,
fight."
Yeah, yeah, there you go. There you go. That was it. And he's right. Dos Anjos, he's a guy that doesn't get enough credit. You know, yeah, he was a champion at 155, fought for the belt at 170, fought Colby Covington, Leon Edwards. Who else? I mean, it was just killer.
Kamaru?
Killer. Kamaru Usman, Colby Covington, Leon Edwards. There was a few others, all back to back. Do you know what I mean? If you want to talk about a guy that has no fear, that really will step in a cage with anyone in his weight class, Rafael Dos Anjos, man, he doesn't get spoken about enough. Of course, he would have done when he was a champion. And hey, this sport is very much, what have you done for me lately? I get that. But I wouldn't be surprised to see Dos Anjos in the Hall of Fame one day because he certainly deserves it. The tenure, the body of work, the opponents, the wars that he's put on. Yeah, Dos Anjos is the man. Love that guy.
I mean, former champion, there is absolutely no doubt that, you know, he could be. He will definitely be in the conversation and will be deserving of it. Also fought for the interim title against Colby Covington.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, as far as what you're asking, guys who are in the rankings, the only other one that sticks out other than Chandler or Poirier would be the guy fighting on the card underneath Islam and
Beneil.
Yeah, Beneil.
Yeah, Beneil. But he's fighting Gamrot, right?
Right.
tough fight. Gamrot's fucking good, man. You see that fight with Almasar Rukian? Holy shit.
War.
Unreal.
War.
We got some big fights coming up. Benil Charles Oliveira. We've got Pereira and Adesanya. What else we got? What's the main event in Vegas yet? Did we know at the end of the year?
End of the year is I just said, Yuri versus Glover.
Oh, Yuri versus Glover. Gotta think we're gonna get John Jones versus Stipe at some point soon. You know, some big fights happening. Big fights.
I mean, they would have to announce that pretty soon, right? I mean, how much lead up are they gonna leave for it? If it's gonna be the end of the year, usually we'd get an announcement.
Yeah. Well, shortly, it looks like it's not gonna be the end of the year, doesn't it? I mean, we're in September now. You never know. You never know.
Yeah, I mean, that 282 card could use a co-main event. And it's like, especially if you're John Jones not fighting for a title, why not take the three-rounder? No?
I'm sorry. If you have John Jones versus Stipe Miocic, right, and this is no disrespect to Yuri or Glover, you know, it's John Jones, man. It's Stipe. You got the greatest of all time. It's the GOAT versus the GWOT. The GHOT. The greatest heavyweight of the GHOT, don't you know? The GOAT versus the GHOT. The greatest heavyweight versus the greatest of all time. All right, stop it with the steroid talk. I know. That is so highly anticipated. That would have to be the main event.
Okay, so then we're talking about February because they're not going to do that. Like if you just said they're going to Rio in January, they're not going to do it till
February. They're going to Perth, Australia.
All right. So now we're in March and John Jones still hasn't come back? What are we talking about?
What is he doing? What is he doing? He just needs to come and fucking fight. Do you know what I mean? John Jones, I mean, he's just wasting his time. He's leaving a lot of money on the table. I mean, who was it? Who just moved up at the weekend? Was it Lee Jingliang?
Lee came up. He was supposed to fight at 170. He ended up fighting at 180. Or against the guy who was 180 in Danmark.
Yeah. See, there you go. But that's what people want to see. That's what inspires people when they go, yeah, fuck it. I'll step up a weight class. I'll do this. Marvin Vittori agrees to fight at 205. You know, John, I'm not criticizing the guy. He had a far better career than I ever did. That's undeniable. There's not even an argument there. But it's been enough time. The preparation is done. The bulking up phase surely does not need to continue any longer, you know. And from by all accounts, I remember a few months ago, Dana saying, yeah, apparently they've all come to terms and an agreement. So, yeah, not sure what the delay is. Anyway, there it is. If you want to send the question in, guys, bympod@gmail.com. Please send them in. We love to answer them. And it gives us something different to talk about and whatever direction you want to take it. If you want some personal advice, you want to send me something funny, silly, whatever it is, we want to hear from you, the believers. We appreciate every single one of you. So please, this is the interactive part of the show. So bympod@gmail.com.
And if you are enjoying the show on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you find podcasts, make sure you're subscribed to the show on there. Leave us a 5-star review, positive rating. Or 5-star rating, positive review. We really appreciate it. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure you're subscribed to the channel and you hit that notification bell to find out whenever a new episode comes out. And for my folks in the live premiere, hit that like button. It really helps us out. And finally, if you want to catch over 300 episodes you can't find anywhere else, ad-free, uncensored, head to gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use the promo code BYM. Get yourself a 7-day free trial and check out over 20 great shows on the network.
All right.
Yes, do that.
Our first question here is a little long-winded, but it's from a lady, so we're going to forgive her.
Yeah. And listen. Nobody being creepy, okay?
No. Hey, what's up? My name is Hallie Covington, and I am from the Northern Neck of Virginia.
Yes, stop it.
Very small town that nobody's...
Stop it.
And no, I am not...
Holly, you need to send questions in every week. I'm sorry. If Anthony Smith was on here, he'd be like, what the fuck? Holly, we didn't know we had believers that looked like you. You're a very pretty woman. Right, put it back to the start. Let's go again. I'm joking. Let's not be creepy. I could not say that. But Holly, it's a lovely dress you've got on. Anyway, let's go ahead.
Hey, what's up? My name is Holly Covington, and I am from the Northern Neck of Virginia. Yes, I'm from a very small town that nobody's ever heard of. And no, I am not related to Colby Covington, at least as far as I know anyway. I'm actually going to become Holly Royer as of next month. And this little bean
killed it for us
is Salem. I thought that having a wiener on my video would boost my odds of getting my video chosen.
So stop it.
Hanging out.
Stop it.
Probably.
She's got a wiener. I'm sorry. I'm very, very
wiener dog.
I know. I'm sorry. I'll continue.
This girl rocks.
She's awesome.
Being crazy, but that's all right. Firstly, I wanted to say thank you, Bisbing, for your love on my comment this morning. That made Shane and I's morning today, so thank you. It was on your most recent video, actually, about Hamzat being the new UFC villain. Apparently, my comment pissed off a lot of other people in the comments, but fuck it, fuck them. Hamzat is an undeniable beast. And I know he missed weight, and yes, that's unprofessional, and that's a whole other discussion entirely. But my question is actually regarding that. So after seeing what Hamzat did to Holland, what do you think would have happened had him and Nate actually stepped in the octagon together? Because personally, me watching that, I feel like Diaz was probably backstage watching what Hamzat did to Holland, was like, holy fucking shit. Thank God that motherfucker missed weight, because I know I don't think that that fight probably would have made it out of the first round either, but I was just curious to get y'all's thoughts. Lastly, I just wanted to say, fuck you, Harrington, because I wanted to be the first girl to be able to tell you that. So thanks guys for the time. Appreciate it.
What an awesome lady.
She thinks she's the first girl to say fuck you to me?
Oh. Get out of here. Yeah. I'm sorry. It was Haley, right? Haley?
It was Holly. Holly Covington.
Holly. Yeah. Listen, Holly Covington, there's been a lot of girls that have told Harry to go fuck himself over the years. If you were to try and put a figure on the number of times a woman has told you to go fuck yourself or turned you down or thwarted your advances towards, you know, a romantic coupling, how many times do you think that would be, Harrington? Come on.
I mean, you know, I only have 10 fingers and 10 toes, man. I can't count that high, but it's quite. Yeah, dude, I'm a dog. I stay slinging it. Dude, my current girlfriend said no to me for 4 years straight, and I kept pursuing.
She hurt his feelings so bad she broke his internet connection.
No, yeah, exactly. Well, Holly, thank you very, very much. When you see this episode, you will see we did go quite in depth about this, so we don't want to repeat ourselves. She said she's getting married soon, did she? Congratulations. Send us in a picture or a video of the wedding. Not the whole video, you know, a little snippet perhaps or whatever. But we do appreciate you. Thank you for the support on the YouTube channel. I think, we'll keep it short and brief. I wouldn't have been surprised if a similar type thing happened, although it is hard to imagine Diaz just getting owned like that. But Hamzat's something special. It was hard imagining Kevin Holland getting owned like that. Okay. And we know your Harrington's point of view. Harrington disagrees. Harrington thinks he would have got to the later rounds. Harrington thinks that he would have probably won him, beat him by decision, or maybe got a submission in round five, you know. But Harrington, you're stupid.
I think he would have broken Jorge Masvidal's record for the fastest knockout in UFC history, but we'll never see the fight, so who knows?
We will never see it. You're absolutely right. Which is kind of sad, because it's going to be one of those, isn't it? It wasn't that funny, Harrington. Relax. Pretty good, though. Yeah, it is one of those. It'll always be a what if, won't it? It'll always be a mystery. And I think she did break your internet connection. You were fine before. I think you're materializing now. There you go. All right, Brian, what else we got?
All right, we got a question here from Mr. Lee Bosworth.
Lee Bosworth. I mean, Lee's got no makeup on, dress.
Good question. Just wondering what your thoughts are on potentially like doing a secret card, maybe at Halloween, maybe once a year or something, where the UFC don't release who any of the fighters are, get people guessing, do you know what I mean? And maybe do it all ranked fighters. And then on the walkouts, that's who you find out who it is. I know it'll be hard like for people preparing and stuff like that, but it makes it a bit more interesting for the fans. Obviously, it'd be hard for the commentators, but DC will have to get his bread out for all that research. But, I mean, I just seen what your thoughts were on, if you had any good ideas yourselves. Double fuck Harrington, because you don't show up, so it's pointless asking you, but yeah, lads. Cheers now.
How are you, man? You know, I think he's from the Northeast, you know, from like Sunderland or Newcastle. Yeah. That's not his original thought. That was doing the rounds. I saw people talking about that online. And they were saying, oh, wouldn't it be great if they did a surprise card where the fans didn't know? Kind of like WWE, I guess. And all of a sudden, whoever it is, Colby Covington walks out with an American flag on him and the Hulk Hogan theme tune. And then from the other side, Hamzat walks out. People are like, ah! You know, and that would be cool. It would be great. But it's also, you're not going to get to market the fight very well, are you? Do you know what I mean? When you're spending millions of dollars, you know, promoting the fights, booking out the venues, all that stuff, of course, paying for the fighters, flying them in, flying the whole teams, the hotels, the flights, all that type of stuff. Do you know what I mean? Putting these events on is a very, very costly thing. You want to ensure that it's a successful endeavor. You know, yeah, okay, granted, you could promote it from another way and say it will guarantee to be your favorite fighters. You're not going to know until on the night. In fact, if they did that, that would be pretty cool. It would be cool. There is something about that which would be fun, different, surprising, engaging, but it's never going to happen.
So I was thinking of another kind of similar idea, but a little bit of a different wrinkle. So you know who the fighters are, but you don't know what the matchups are. Right. So just like we had this weekend, you have it where, you know, it's going to be these six guys who, you know, let's say it's the three best from 155, three best from 170. We say catch weight 165. Right. All these guys are all going to weigh in at 165, and the fans are going to vote on who they want the matchups to be. And those aren't released until the night before the fight is official. That would be sick.
Yeah, it would. It would be fun. And all those things that I said, the only thing is that's kind of like almost going back in time, isn't it? It's almost reversing. I mean, because WWE, you can do that stuff because it's not actually sport. It's a scripted pantomime show. Do you know what I mean? It's entertainment. This is the UFC has worked. You know, listen, don't get me wrong. I understand what you're saying. And there's definitely a big fun element to that. It'd be fun. It'd be great. Fans would lose their mind. You know, they're going to get surprises on the night and all the rest of it. That'd be cool. But the UFC has worked so fucking hard for years and years and years and lobbying to get it legalized and hiring the best people, the best lawyers, you know, Mark Ratner coming on board, leaving the Nevada State Athletic Commission, coming to work for the UFC, bringing in USADA, doing everything they can to have this seen, excuse me, as a legitimate sport. Do you know what I mean? To get away from those early days, you know, to get away from where it was several fighters competing on the same night and anything goes and two men enter, one man leaves. You know, there was a lot of stigma. Remember, it couldn't be shown on TV, you know, for the longest time. And they've got away from that and they've turned it into this phenomenon that is worldwide popular. You know, I'm not bragging here. I'm not talking about me. It sounds like I'm bragging here. The UFC is so popular. Like I'm very lucky, you know, I get to visit different places in the world. I don't go anywhere and not get recognized. You know, and that's not me. That's not me. That's the power of the UFC. Do you know what I mean? Obviously, I commentate a couple of times a month now, so people see me doing that stuff. That's the power of the UFC. I'm not talking about myself.
Mayor of Vegas.
Oh, the fuck off. No, but that's what I'm saying. The sport is so globally massive. It's such a sensation now. Do you know what I mean? And doing that type of stuff is kind of taking a step back. Do you know what I mean? They're pushing it to the mainstream. It's become very corporate. It's online. It's on TV alongside NBA, NFL, all that good stuff. Do you know what I mean? And they've worked fucking tirelessly and hard and spent a lot of money to get to that point. I mean, it wasn't that long ago. It still wasn't even fucking legal in New York. Do you know what I mean? And I just feel that, yeah, Come on. If you just take all that away from it and you're just having a bit of fun, yeah, it would be fun. But it also would detract, I don't know, I think, from all that hard work that's been achieved.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously the fan element is 100%, the silly part of it. But I mean, dude, just how cool was it to be expecting Khamzat versus Nate for a month and then get what we ended up getting over the weekend? Once a year, give me one of those.
Yeah. Listen, I'd sign off on that. Do you know what I mean? But I'm just saying, I don't think we'll ever see that. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, no, for sure. From the fan perspective, the excitement levels will be through the roof. I'd love to see that. There's a drum roll. You don't know who it's going to be. All of a sudden,
it's like the Royal Rumble.
It's fucking Conor McGregor standing there. They're like, no way. And then all of a sudden, who is it going to be? And I said Colby already. Colby would be good, though, wouldn't it? You know, Hamzat comes out. Or
it would
whatever.
Feel quite like a freak show.
Yeah, it would be. It would be. In the blue corner. Remember her from Pride. Do we have one more, Brian?
We do. We have a question from a young man named August Lindquist, who's looking for some advice getting into MMA.
August Lindquist, is that his real name?
Hey, Anthony, I hope you're doing well. I've been thinking of starting to train MMA, and I'm wondering some things before I'm starting. I'm thinking of starting, and what are the things I should expect during my first couple of months of training? Thank you in advance, and I love your podcast.
Well, thank you, August Lindquist. Of course that is. He's not joking. Just Lindquist, there's some jokes there. Cunning linguists. I'm quite a cunning linguist these days.
Hey man, you never know. The dude might be packing.
I'm getting good at Bulgarian. Blagodaria. What does that mean, you think?
Where can I find a beer?
No, thank you. And da is yeah. There you go. There's my Bulgarian. All right. So what should he expect going into an MMA gym for the first times? I mean, look, listen, he's going to go in and start training with the novices, with the amateurs and all the rest of it. But you can't just go. I mean, you can. You can go to an MMA class for beginners. I mean, what do you think, Hamilton? What do you think he's asking me for here?
I think he's asking you like what to expect from it, and like if you
I got that bit. Tricks.
But I mean, like the question I was going to ask you at least is like, do you think it makes sense to go to a beginner's MMA class versus going to a beginner jiu-jitsu class, a beginner boxing class? You know what I mean? Like learning those martial arts individually enough at a base level to where you'll be able to put them together a little bit better once you start training MMA.
Yeah. So, I mean, of course, ideally that is the path you would take. Oh, not necessarily. Like I was saying there, you're going to go there and you're going to do a bit of this, you're going to do a bit of that or whatever. But back in the day when I first was I was in the UFC when I first started training MMA, and I was still in the UFC. I was in the UFC. I'd won the Ultimate Fighter and having my first few fights when I was living in Clitheroe. I used to do a session at the Trinity Youth Club where I used to go as a kid and had the little, you know, they had a little basketball court in there, and we'd get the mats out every Tuesday and Thursday, and we'd do MMA. Do you know what I mean? But these people they weren't traditional martial artists, but, you know, we'd have a good warm-up, and the warm-up was about half an hour long, and that was basically a fitness session. I would just beast the fuck out of everyone. And then we'd pick different things to work on. You know what I mean? We'd do a little bit of striking. We'd do a little bit of jiu-jitsu, a little bit of an armbar, how to escape. We'd work on some sprawls. We'd do some takedowns, just a little bit of everything, just little bits, and people really enjoyed it. And I think that's what, if you went to an MMA beginner's class, that's what you would find. Give it a shot, my friend, August. Give it a shot. You will find that you'll enjoy it. And if nothing else, you know, you're going to get out, you're going to do something positive. If you go somewhere good, you go to a good environment. I think this is what the misconception that people have. If you go to a good martial arts environment, I'm not talking about, if you're a professional fighter, it's different. If you're a professional fighter going into a foreign gym, you're going into the lion's den sometimes. People are going to come after you. I've got emails galore from people asking me to come down to their gyms in fucking Bulgaria. Brother, I hear you're in Bulgaria. You don't have the accents on email, but I'm going to do it. We hear you're in Bulgaria. Please come train at our gym. We would love to welcome the count down here. I'm like, fucking no chance. Because I'm going to walk in, everyone's going to be trying to rip my head off. And you know, because they don't want to be that guy. But if you're an absolute beginner, if it's a good environment, you'll find it's a very warm, friendly, safe place with no egos attached. That's how it should be. Like when you go to jiu-jitsu, you know, like for Lucas, it's such a great environment to be in. You know, it's all about respect. It's nice and calm. You know, they're not allowing for any dickhead behavior. You know, no loutish behavior. It's a very calm, respectful place. You know, and I think that's what he'll find. So there you go. There it is. There's the show. I'm holding my PP because I need a PP. And on that note, we're going to go. We appreciate you all. Subscribe and ring the bell if you haven't done that. Come on, what are you waiting for? Thursday. We said it last week, but we didn't follow through, did we? We will be back with another show this Thursday with Anthony Smith. He's in Wyoming or driving back from Wyoming. How dare he?
Yeah, I mean, how dare he have a life and a family and a world outside of these microphones and cameras?
Yeah, I'm in Bulgaria. I'm in Bulgs. living up to the fucking expectations of the believers. We love Anthony Smith, and we love you too. Guys, take care. All the best.